G'day, snappers, and welcome to the Sunday Snap, coming to you through the SC Ballers feed. This is the podcast where we give our snap reactions to the NRL Supercoach round that was. My name's Jono, coach of the Haas Beans, and with me to talk about all the big news coming out of round 15 is the coach of Tubes Pods, Tubes. How are you, mate?
Yeah, pretty good, Jono. I was thinking about it today when I was looking at my scores. I don't like this 13 person buy round, mini buy, major buy rounds. Like, there's no room for like people to catch up, and it might be because I'm lowly ranked in the 20,000th and I need some things to go my way. But I just found this weekend a little bit boring. Like, no matter what happened, everyone's going to finish within 100 to 150 of each other, and it won't be any major moves.
Jeez,
coming with a hot topic.
You finally have a good week, and you're little Mr. Down in the Dumps.
I'm not down in the dumps. I'm
that
just saying.
That was very down in the dumps. Why don't you tell us what score you got this week?
Currently 1965, although no updates. Sorry, 965.
I was going to say that would be nice. That would be very nice.
965 pre-updates, but obviously no games updated yet, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and you definitely, Tubes, looking at your squad, you got a couple of big offloaders, so I think your updates are going to be fairly nice.
Yeah,
when they
I
come
think
through,
I'll crack 1,000. Yeah, I'd be shocked if I didn't.
Well, you've had a little rant. I'm going to have one now, Tubes. What's going on with the updates this weekend? Hopefully they come up midway through the pod and we can give people accurate scores, but five-game round, it's currently Sunday night after 8 o'clock, and just no updates for the entire weekend. How frustrating.
Yeah, it's the Fox Sports stats have sent people on buy rounds as well, I suppose, after a few big weeks.
Well, Tubes, I'm sitting on about 9-10, which definitely feels under par. You feel over par, and there's only 55 points between us, which I guess kind of echoes your point that you were saying about it's not a big catch-up week. I'd say par's probably sitting around 940, 950 pre-updates. I anticipate that I'll drop, but I don't think it'll be by very much, hopefully. Whereas, yeah, you'll certainly grow, Tubes. The people down at your rank, they might have only had six, seven players this week.
I could grow 3,000 spots. Like, you never know.
All right. Well, let's get on to some plugs. Just a reminder that the SC Ballers Unlimited League, it's closed now. So you've actually missed your opportunity to win $5,000 in cash prizes. But excitingly, there are going to be some announcements coming soon around a new league that will be popping up. So definitely keep your eyes peeled for that. Usual plug for the website, baller.live, BALLR.live, which is now consistently putting up these projections for each game. So you can see what the statisticians at Baller, the big brains there, have run through of what they think the players are going to be worth. And it's very analytics-based, isn't it, Tubes?
Yeah, very analytics-based, very good projections. I think it's just worth going on and having a look. I think I use it now a lot for sit fee starts, but yeah, also captaincy, vice-captaincy options, like when you're trying to figure out whether or not to loop. I used it this weekend with Teddy, actually, when I was considering to loop Jaden Campbell. But yeah, it's good. I feel more confident with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree. For those 50-50 calls, it can be a bit of a game changer. And also the break evens and price rise projections go out on socials. They are going at some point over the weekend, so always checking in there, especially if you're not a Supercoach Gold member. We had the second watch-along ever, and Tubes, the best thing that's come out of the watch-alongs for me so far that Baller have done is the watch-along curse. You were part of the curse. You were on the first watch-along, and you had Lehi Hopewade. In fact, all three of the guys on, you, Matt, and the head honcho, obviously the Baller podcasting arm, and Aman from Aman Talk Supercoach, all owned Lehi Hopewade. He dropped the ball and got knocked out when he was in the process of it. And then what happened this week with Big Ola Tubes as you were watching from home?
Yeah, so with that Lehi one, I VC'd him. So I think I was the most devastated. And then this week, you, Matt, and C-Mac all owned Big Ola when he went in for his try, all got up and about. And then same thing, turned out he dropped it, but instead of a HIA, he's dislocated his shoulder. But the most devastated on the pod was Matt, because he'd only just traded him in and he'd been anti-potting him up until that stage. So, yeah, well, he didn't speak for like 3 minutes straight, basically just looking into the camera, and then had a bit of a storm off.
Yeah, needed a breather. Yeah,
it was pretty good.
I laughed when he said, and then Big Ola dropped the ball and dislocated his shoulder. Like, I laughed. It's not funny at all. I was so angry at the time. But watching Matt be so much more upset than me actually kind of brought me back and made me find the whole process funny. But yeah, good fun to watch longs. Make sure you're keeping your eye out for when they're going to happen again next for Baller. I think we're enjoying doing them too. So there should be more in that space coming soon. Chiefs, just before we get into our proper segments of the show, I want to give you some live, you haven't heard this from me, some live listener feedback that was given to me during the week.
All right, I'm a bit nervous.
So my old man listened to his first episode ever of the Sunday Snap during the week. He knew we were doing it, but he just thought he'd be a little bit supportive. And he had a few thoughts. He's obviously a lifelong rugby league fan. Doesn't understand or play Supercoach. And I said to him, okay, like he told me, I've been listening to my first step. I said, how'd you find it? And he goes, oh, I thought the part where you guys said each other's names at the start and then asked each other how your weekends were, absolutely fantastic. And I went, yep. I went, what'd you think beyond that? He goes, oh, once you guys started talking about that game, I didn't understand anymore and I turned it off. He goes, I could tell if I did know Supercoach, it would have been really good.
So good feedback from your dad who listened to 5 minutes of it, basically, of the show.
Solid intros, according to him.
Excellent.
Well, he didn't make it through to our first segment of the show, Tubes. It's always our angriest one. It's time for the rage trades.
Are you little?
Tubes, who is your rage trade candidate this week?
I'm fixing up a mistake that I made a couple of weeks ago, which was bringing in King Gutho for the bye period, hoping he might go on a run over those three games. And he's done absolutely nothing. He's had 37 on the weekend. And not only do the Dragons not look great, but when they do actually do something, it seems to now be going through King Tongia, and they just don't seem to pass the ball to Gutho. So it's ta-ta to Gutho for me. The only shining light is that I traded Turbo to him and I was so nervous Turbo was going 150. So it feels like it's cost me a trade, but it hasn't worked out, I guess, the worst, if that makes sense. So yeah, I'll be looking to upgrade to another premium fullback. Just need to figure out who.
I'm changing my rage trade on the fly. Let's ignore the bloke who's on the run sheet, Tubes. I can't believe I didn't have it. My rage trade is Tommy Trbojevic, Tommy Turbo. I can't believe I forgot about him. Just when you said the name Turbo just then, it actually made me a little bit angry. And it just reminded me of, like, he's clearly my rage trade candidate. He had 40 points this weekend. There's a chance he updates with a line break and gets to 50 maybe. But, Tubes, it was such a tough watch. I actually feel really sorry for him. I don't know, this might be a harsh word, malpractice. It just seems horrible that they're sending him out there. He's clearly not fit. He looked hobbled. He had a couple of opportunities where he was close to the line. These are the kind of things that he normally just scores easily, but he was either chopped down, pushed over the sideline one time. He just couldn't do it on one leg. He was 13%.
Or shipped it on, didn't even try.
Yeah, like exactly.
Sometimes he just passed it on.
Like. Exactly. Instead of engaging the line, he just quickly give it to the people outside him. I actually felt really sorry for him having to be out there doing it. And like, you can tell that he's just not confident. He was 13% vice captain. I was one of them. I seriously didn't even put much thought into my captaincy this round because I was so confident going into the game that Turbo was going to go well. And within 5 minutes, the confidence was gone. He's now dropping another 31K. He's going to be sub 500K. So even for those who brought him in on a bit of a flyer a few weeks ago, he's dropped another 100K now on top of what we brought him in for, and it's that much harder to get to one of these premium guys.
Yeah, and like I saw in some chats around, I think it might have been something to do with NRL Physio, that there's even some herd conspiracies that this has all just been a ruse and a cover-up, that maybe he has twinged his hammy again or hurt his hammy in some way, shape or form, but they don't want to keep bringing it up. So they sort of made up this, what was it,
myofascial. Yeah, we're not physios, something like that.
A cork, though, like a bad cork.
But also a cork that has like a little tear involved in it.
I just can't get around the chat that he's lost confidence. Like, I think it's more that he genuinely looks weaker, like as in he just hasn't been able to maybe hit the weight room, maybe hasn't been able to do running, sprinting, and he just doesn't look like the same person. Like he looks like he needs to have a whole preseason under his belt before you could ever look at trusting him again from a Supercoach perspective, but even a Manly perspective. You guys talked on the live stream as like, could you even re-sign him at this point and at what price? But I agree. I was shocked when I didn't see he was your rage trade because I think everyone needs to be trading him out, unfortunately, this week. And I'll be interested. It'll be probably worth a chat in the next couple of weeks that there's a world where someone like Lehi Hopewadi coming back might be better to go back at fullback for them over the next period of time.
Yeah, they've got the bye now next week, Manly, so maybe a week to get himself fitter again to not do that Lehi thing. But I think they should if they want to make the top eight with how he looked. Like you said, you're not going to get around him not playing with confidence. Like, he isn't playing with confidence. Like,
But I mean, that being the reason he's getting tackled out and shipping the ball on. He kicked the ball with his left foot twice. It's like he doesn't even have confidence to kick with his right leg. Like, he's going to pull a hammy or something. It was a weird, everything about it just felt off.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was.
No, he's a must trade. Owners cannot sit there and go, he's got 2 weeks off. Maybe he comes back fitter. You just have to trade him out of your team, get him for a premium, bite the bullet. Nuff out someone if you need to. And Tubes, I look forward to round one, 2026. Let's make this the last time we talk about Turbo. Talk about him again in round one, 2026, when he's dirt cheap and he's probably 80% owned. So, all right, let's get into the round review now. The first game, Tubes, was your Sharkies pumped the Dragons, or pumped him in the second half, final score of 30-18. From the Sharks' perspective, I mean, massive pod Brayley. I probably had his best ever NRL game. 104 points with a try assist. From a Supercoach relevant standpoint, Britton Nikera, 95 points with a try. He will have a break even at 12. He's going to go up to just over 500K. Could you put any stock in him as an Ola replacement, Tubes? We're going to get to Ola a little bit later, but could Nikera be one of those replacement options?
He's an option for sure, especially with, say, Keon going down. I'm just swerving the Sharks completely. I can't see how you're bringing in any Sharks player at the moment, based on the way that they look. I know that Nicker has had a good game, but yeah, I don't have any confidence in the Sharks' attacking ability at the moment. So I don't think I'll be going near Nicker even at sub 500K.
Well, let's get to one of their main attacking linchpins then, Tubes. Nicho Hynes, who had 51, no major attacking stats. He was 37% vice-captain. He was by far the most popular vice-captain of the round. But watching that game, Trindle was just the main man, wasn't he? He ran the show this time.
Yeah, but – and I don't know, like, they're just off. It doesn't – at the moment, doesn't matter who's running the attack. It even felt – like, I know they ended up putting on 30 points, so it might sound a bit sour, but – they felt like lucky tries. Like, they got a couple of lucky ones from Katoa. Katoa sort of just beating a man one-on-one off the scrum. Like, I don't know. He's certainly, and I wouldn't have said this all year, but it's sort of been a few weeks in a row now, but my lack of trust in the Sharks now leads me to think, well, if for those that have sold Cleary and gone to someone like Jerome Hughes, I think it's now potentially favourite that you're looking at a Cleary-Hughes combination for after that bye period ends, and which just seems crazy.
It is, but it's a reality. And, yeah, I think you're right, Chubbs. At this point, I would keep Hughes over Hynes with how everything looks. I mean, that's still a while away, that decision being made, and maybe the Sharks are back in a red-hot vein of form by then and we change our minds, but I think you're probably right at this stage. One thing that was noticeable this week, Chubbs, is Adam Fanua-Blake, who's massively owned within the top 10%, 44% of the top 10% own him. He played 67 minutes this week. Now, he's been on a bit of a run of big-minute games, but previously we were able to put it down a little bit to injuries and Talakai shifting into the back line and then opening up the middle. This week, I mean, we had a similar kind of thing, didn't we? Because Moeni Herotti went down after 35 minutes. So is it just a case of that, or are these minutes the real deal?
I don't think it matters too much either way, because I think the reality is there's always going to be something in a game that comes up. Maybe not always, but a lot of times. And Talakai covers that back line straight away, and then that's a middle forward gone, and AFB's always going to get more minutes whenever something happens.
Yeah.
So he's like their reliable guy they know can play more, but they only want to save him realistically because he's so valuable to them. So I think that, not that you can trust that he's going to get that many minutes, but I do think you can think that he's going to average certainly closer to 60 for the back end of the season.
Yeah, good point. It's probably happened, what, six times this year already. So, yeah, absolutely. And mentioning Moeni Hirodi, I didn't realise, Chips, he was actually brought in by 24% of the top 10%. Oof. I mean, what a disaster. 14 points. He had an early try overturned and then came off hurt after 34 minutes. And there's going to be people who are going to be dealing with that. They're going to have Ola Kawatu. They're also going to have Keon Koloa Matangi, who we're going to talk about later as well. Like, it's become a bit of a disaster round for some people.
Yeah. And it's imagine you just sold Iro to him or something like that as well. Like, there's been a bit of carnage the last couple of weeks. Like, I think people might have been hoping to save some trades, and there's going to be some very low trade stocks going around by the end of the Origin period.
Yeah, luckily we've all been able to generate a fair bit of cash and the squads are pretty strong. But with the way the injuries are going at the moment, it's been a lot of carnage lately. From the Dragon side of things, King Tongia, the new king of Kogra, I thought had his best NRL game, Tubes, even try aside. Like, he did get 58 points with a nice solo try. I thought we've criticised him before about how he hasn't really been digging into the line. He's been very kind of shallow and flat passing it out. I thought he looked really good. He's now going to go up another 40K, break even around the zero mark. So well done to people who held. I actually sold him this week to Jaden Campbell, which I'm not filthy about, but for those who held, very, very well done. Chews, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on Lawson, who is now nearly in 50% of the top 10% of teams. He had 18 points on the weekend. What did you make of it all?
I think he looked very uncomfortable under the high ball, and it almost worries me that teams are now going to see that and have that as a bit of a blueprint, and they're already quite shaky with Sloan under the high ball, although I know he replaced Sloan the week before. I think he's a hold, though, probably, given all the other carnage that's going on, and he's just so cheap. Like, is he even making any points? He's
13K.
Yeah, so, like, you're not rushing to sell him, but he's certainly not the bring-in option that I think we all were hoping he still might be around 17, 18 as a cheapy option.
Yeah, and you just got to hope that obviously Tuipulotu, he's going to be back, I believe, for their next game in round 17. So one of Sloan or Lawson are getting dropped, and both of them are really poor. So toss a coin and see what Flano
maybe
thinks.
Maybe you're hoping it's Lawson and he nuffs out for you. Like, maybe you don't want his AE. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's not a bad point. And the last one, very quickly from the Dragons, debutant Sulganis, who had 41 nearly all in base. And I thought he looked pretty solid in a beaten team. He's not going to be causing any dramas for either Lawson or Sloan, because he's a straight-up centre, former back rower. He's not going to be one who's going to slot under the wing. So I think he just drops straight out, but one to watch for the future. On to the next game, Tubes, the Titans versus the Seagulls, and a bit of an upset this one, especially with a 13-plus scoreline. From the Titans' perspective, Jaden Campbell was very impressive, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he has to be. Like, I know they put on 28 points, but their attack is just so basic. Like, one out, one out, one out, give it a JC, hope you can sort of basically make a line break or get something happening. I mean, they did well. They won the game. I feel good about Jaden Campbell because I really just don't think that they have that many other options. Yeah, well done to them. They're really their other main sort of player in the game, though, that did do well isn't an attacking man. He was just the base plus power guy, and that was your man, Bo Furmore, who basically just thought he got dropped from the Queensland squad, so he rolled up his sleeves and does what he knows best, which is just do a hell of a lot of work over 80 minutes.
Yeah, 74 points, and there wasn't a whole lot of power to go with that base either, Tubes. He also was the one who poked out the ball from Olakau'atu as he was diving over and dropped that try too. So just a sign of the kind of player he is. My only issue with him, Tubes, at the moment is he's not really connecting with Kieran Foran since he's come in on that left edge. When they're in that set attacking structure, Firmore's just running decoys and they're going out the back behind him. So I'm hoping they can develop that little bit of a connection. When Brimo was out there on the left, they looked really good together and Brimo was finding him often, whereas it's just not quite happening with Foran. But I think he's still pretty well priced, Tubes. He's going to be around 600K. Break-even's going to be in the 60s. I still think people could do a lot worse than Beau Firmore.
I mean, it was a good week to get him. Next week's probably a good week to get him. I think he was averaging before this week like 72 or something like that for 80-minute back row games that he started this year, and he's gone and busted out 74 almost all in base. So he's not a sexy trade in, but he certainly does the job for you.
That's the eye of the beholder, Tubes. I thought he was a pretty sexy trader, but that's just me. I'm a believer. The last one, almost just a funny end to the Titans, was Tuki Simpkins, one of everybody's favourite nuffs. He was in 15% of the top 10% of teams purely as a nuff. He's come in this week. He had 30 points in only 22 minutes. Big lump of a guy too, kind of big lanky fella. And I just think that maybe owners are hoping he didn't play so well that he holds a spot. He looked pretty good, Tuki.
Yeah, but I mean, he still only played 22 minutes. And Des is notorious for not playing his sort of front rowers. I was going to say he nearly scored. He didn't nearly score, but there was a second was a there where he was one on one with someone close to the line, and you thought, oh, hold on, he could go over here. But he did his job. He actually didn't end up making my 13. So I probably would have preferred him not get that 30 points for other people, but he did his job for those that had him as enough since the start of the year.
On to the Seagulls side of things. Look, we've mentioned Ola, dislocated shoulder, dropping the ball over the line. Just, yeah, he has to go. It's just a matter of to who. And the good thing is there is a lot of flexibility in terms of who you can get into. Reuben Garrick started off really hot. He ended up with 94 points from two tries. He actually had -4 from conversions, which is very un-Reuben-like, missing two kicks, and the Seagulls only scored two tries. So not to be for him. The score could have been a lot bigger if the Seagulls went on a run. He was getting those goal kicks. He was 14% vice-captain, and I'm assuming nearly all of those people just would have taken those points. And he's going to be back up over 600K now. Tubes, I don't know if you have anything to say about Garrick. Pretty stock standard, really, for him outside of the extra little bit of attacking stats.
Yeah, and I actually just noticed his price at 588K and was looking if he was a buy, but then just had a quick look and he's still 96% owned by the top 1%. So, yeah.
What do you make of DCE, Tubes? I think you brought him in as a pod.
I did. And it was a pass game, like, yeah, he had an assist. From a Supercoach perspective, it was a pass game. Maybe from an NRL, I don't know. 58 with an assist. Obviously, they only scored 8 points, so I would have hoped to have more from it. Disappointing that Ola's now not running off him on the right-hand side. Disappointing that Turbo's not looking any good for their attacking upside off him. He had some questionable kicks and moments, but for what I bought him for, which was to be able to upgrade elsewhere at 462K with a 58, it's not the worst. Like, as in, he'll just be going straight to Cleary in round 19. I just hope that he gets, you know, closer to 600K than he is right now.
Yeah, I think Danny Boy did a really good job with his analysis of DCE on the Thursday Q&A pod last week. And I think he did the massive. If Cherry averaged 80, he was going to make 100K. So, Tubes, I think him getting from 460 to 600K probably not looking very good. But who knows? It only takes one big game to get him rolling, and he could do it. The next game of the round was the Knights versus the Roosters. And it was a real game of two halves. And James Tedesco, he was purchased by 23% of the top 10% this week, and 47% of the top 10% had the captaincy on him. They were very happy when he kind of exploded for a big second half and ended up on 85 points. Set up both tries in the second half that the Roosters scored. Choose, what do you think? It was your first week as a Teddy owner. Must have felt pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I know he had a line break assist in that first half, but it felt like he did absolutely nothing, or the Roosters were getting belted. They were down 6-0, I think, at the time, and felt like they had no attack. And he was already on like 36 points or something like that at halftime. Like, he just accumulates points like nothing else. Basically, he's been the premium fullback option outside of that one season a couple of years ago, and doesn't look like slowing down. So I expect his ownership to go up even further over the next couple of weeks. And, yeah, he's just a really good captaincy option. I felt really confident, and that was – I looked at the ball projections. I looked at a few things, like not looping Jaden Campbell. I was going, like, his floor is probably 70, Teddy. And like that's pretty much you can't get as much of a quiet Teddy game just about. Like he's always going to have some at least one attacking stat.
Yeah, well, I'll be one of those who don't own him who's going to own him next week, Tubes, for sure. And I bet anyone who owns Turbo who don't own Teddy probably should do the same thing. A couple of guys who are beneficiaries of Teddy's try assist, Sia Wong had 87 points with a try for kick, and well deserved after making nearly 50 tackles. A lot of that, which was some hard work in the first half. And Fichetti, he's back. Fichetti Bowden, he had 73 points, and he was very nimble for a big man with that try assist, Tubes. Is there any chance he becomes an option? Victor Radley's had another concussion. It could open up some minutes in that pack. He'll be up to around 320k with a minus 15 or so break even.
I would like him to, but no.
He will be one day. He's going to be a Supercoach player. Friendly game.
He should be for sure. Yeah. He's like a Naf White from previous years. Like, as in, if he just gets the minutes, he'll have a very relevant game.
The two Smiths from the Roosters had less relevant games. Sandon had 36, but obviously his job security is back with Sammy Walker's broken thumb. His break even is going to settle around the mid-50s. And Billy, 35 points. I actually thought he was one of the best actual rugby league players on the field, Billy. His defense was incredible for the Roosters, but just didn't translate to Supercoach. And he's doing a reverse Herbie on corner Tubes. Herbie's on this big try scoring streak. Billy is now six games without a try.
Yeah, he's probably one of my most disappointing trade-ins of the season. And I've had a few, but but he was one that I sort of really wanted to take on, but he just exploded with those first two games and it felt like he couldn't. He hasn't scored above, like, certainly 50, or maybe even 40 or 45 since those first two games. His base just disappeared and he's ended up only making basically 50K now or something ridiculously low, maybe 40 since people brought him in. So,
yeah.
You just want him. I just want him out of my team. Just wait and see if next week's going to be the week to do it.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep holding. I think he's going to score a try at some stage, isn't he? And then he'll be off and running. And his base is pretty good. So he's also been a big Billy updates man. So we'll see. That 35 could become 50. Onto the Knights side of things. Fletcher Sharp obviously missed the game with a calf strain. There's a chance he's going to miss next week too. For the guys who did play, Dylan Lucas, 79 points. He had a line break in the first half that he also got a try contribution from, and the rest was just from what he does, hard work. To a lesser-owned player, McCarthy, he had 65 points with the Knights' only try. Good little buy-round gift tubes for the 8% within that top 10% who held him. I don't think he's going to be an option, though, is he?
No, I don't think so. Like, you're not bringing in players like that at this time of the year, I wouldn't think, like with most of the buy-rounds now sort of going down and you're looking to bring in guns.
Tubes, you delivered. Last week your ready-to-explode player was Greg Marju, and I think a bone in his forearm might have exploded on the weekend, so you got one right.
It's a bit harsh. Greg's a friend of the show. Like, he's just copped an absolute stray one from you just there. It was unfortunate. Did his wrist. I think he heard it with like 60 minutes still to go, which explains the low score.
Yeah, he's tough.
But sort of fought it out. It was such a low scoring game. It wasn't great for anyone. But then, yeah, really unfortunate for those like Matt that held.
Yeah, it sucks.
Him and looks like he's going to be out for a while.
Yeah, possibly. We'll see what happens there. I think if it is cleared up and it's nothing too bad, hopefully he just stays in your team and he can get some big scores soon. Tubes, I mentioned the Ready to Explode segment. It is time now for this week's Ready to Explode players. Who have you got for us?
Yeah, continuing on the Knights theme, we didn't talk about him. This week he played for the Roosters, but next week he could be playing for the Newcastle Knights. I heard that he packed up all his belongings, put them in the trailer, drove down the, is it the M5? Or no, what's the road up to Newey? Whatever it is, the Princess Highway or something like that. So he's driven up there and he's actually unpacked it all at KPP's house and moved in basically already.
Wow.
So he played and then played for the Roosters on Saturday night, and now it's imminent that he will be announced as a new Roosters release, new Knight signing, and that is Dom Young. As I've just realised, I've done a huge preamble there.
Had you
Dom
not
Young.
Said his name in all
nah,
of that?
No, hadn't said his name at all. So Dom Young, I just think if he'll roll straight into that Knights outfit. I don't know if it'll be on the left for Greg if he's injured or on the right for Schiller or Schiller moves to the left, whatever it ends up being. He's just an absolute attacking freak. And he obviously has his defensive issues, but I think in a Knight side where he'll be given a bit more permission to actually get his base up, continue working. And if he is on that right side, Schiller's just been going so well outside Dan Gagai, but I think Dom Young and Gagai can
They had a great combo, didn't they?
They had a great combo for a while there. And so I think that he could become a very relevant option for the run home.
Yeah, I don't mind it, Tubes. And I think they got the buy in 19, the Knights. Other than that, they're done with buys. And his price is going to be coming in better than what you kind of would expect for a player of his caliber based on his past work. Tubes, my ready-to-explode player is one that you actually already own. It's AJ Brimson, or as we like to call him on the Sunday Snap, AJ Brimpod. He had 73 points with an assist. Just a real live-wire game from Brimo. He was playing fullback, and he actually had his most hit-ups in a game for the year. And his price is staying pretty level. His break-even's getting in the 50s. He's a dual-position 5'8 centre wing. Tubes, I bagged you on the live stream before Brimo kind of went off. I said, I can't believe Tubes still owns him. And to an extent, I kind of stand by that. But I do think he's an option now. I really liked what I saw from him playing fullback.
Yeah, I mean, I've sort of been waiting for this game. And it's not that he exploded with huge attacking stats. It's just
the base
his involvement. Yeah. And but even he, when you say he's a live wire, like even just bringing it back, like the one of his big attacking stats was making a huge break, which didn't quite end up into a try assist.
Yeah.
But I think it led to a try later on in the set for the Titans. And like he's not Teddy, but he's got that Teddy attribute of he just keeps himself balanced and keeps going when you think that they can't and can sort of bust tackles with just sort of hip movements. So I'm happy to see him at fullback. And as you said, I think some people had been talking up Jackson Purdue as sort of that 5'8 centre wing flip around. And I think that he could be another really good option to have in your team for the run home. So you're ready to explode, my man. I'm happy to hear you come around.
Yeah, and the thing, it's a really good comp, Tubes, there with Purdue. The big tick in Brumo's favour, he's only 3% owned. So a huge pod as well, and that's amongst the top 10% of players. I like it, Tubes. I think you've done well to have him now. Like I said, maybe you should have traded him ages ago and got him back in now. But that's a different conversation. The thing I like about him at fullback is he's such a good NRL player that playing fullback brings him into the game. Like when he's at 5'8", he kind of can come in and out. When he's playing fullback, he has no choice but to get his hands on the ball. And when he's touching the ball lots is when you see Brumo kind of fire up and be absolutely at his best. So definite option. On to the last two games around now. We had the Cowboys versus the Dolphins. Last night, the Cowboys got pumped 4 points to the Dolphins, 58. And
oh, I thought we weren't going to do this game because, like, I thought you must have missed it because you didn't pick any of these players as you're ready to explode for this week.
Well,
I thought you must have just let it go.
Yeah, Jack Bostock's going to be my little black book tubes this week. No, Jack Bostock, 162 with four tries. Nearly had a fifth, but actually dropped one in a try-scoring chance. What about tubes? A few potential owners coming out of the woodwork after Jack Bostock started scoring well. A lot of people suddenly, oh, I was thinking about bringing Bostock in this week. I just didn't quite pull the trigger. I don't remember seeing any of those conversations. They only started to crop up after he scored three tries.
I feel like you and I are in enough Supercoach WhatsApp groups and probably consume enough Supercoach podcast content between the two of us. And I don't remember hearing anyone talk about him. But then there's been, yeah, as you say, a few murmurs since the 162 as if he was in calculation or consideration for this week. But well done for those 0.8% that do own him.
Yeah, but well done to the other 20% who thought about nearly bringing him in too.
It's hard to say. He's going up 121K. He'll be having negative 70 break even. He could still be an option. That Dolphins attack is just absolutely humming, isn't it?
Yeah, they look fantastic. Katoa's unbelievable. And so's Herbie Farnworth, Chews. What about his game? 141 with two assists. And we've been calling him Herbie Junkworth. He took his junk to the next level today. Cody Nikorima did the under sixes, handed to your teammate over the line just to keep that try-scoring streak alive. But he's going to be up over 800K now, Herbie.
The only thing I'll say, and I'm not a Herbie owner, so it was a bit of a tough watch, but like in a way I almost felt like we got away with 141. They could not tackle him. Like I felt like if they just gave him more ball early, close to the line, he probably scores more. And that probably contributed to the Bostock tries, like as in he's such an attacking threat, Herbie, that you can't tackle him one-on-one basically. Like, and so, yeah, I felt like that it was just a little Nikorima nod to him to go, we know that you've been like had a huge game. I'll just give you a little try here.
Yeah. Nikorima, 131 himself. Jermaine Asako Tubes was one of the most purchased. I think he was the most purchased player. He was by over 40% of the top 10% brought him in this week. And look, he did a good job. 81 points with two line breaks. It didn't hurt that he had 36 points from conversions. I'd have to say, though, Tubes, for anyone who hasn't got him, I don't think you should have any kind of illusions to bring him in this week. He's going up another 60K, which will take him to around 690K. I don't think you could get him at that price.
No, I don't. I don't think so. I was never completely on the Asako train, and that's genuinely because, without saying in hindsight, like they just really go well left, the Dolphins, like with that, because Katoa sweeps both sides, and then obviously Nikorima, Herbie, Bostock. Whilst I know Katoa can score, I just don't think it's their preferred way to go. And so at 600 and, as you say, 80K or whatever he'll be after this week, I just don't think he'll be an option for those others moving forward.
I want to see if, Tubes, if you think any of these mid-range or cheaper Dolphins players might be options. The first one is Irish Kurt. He got that nickname because you called him Kurt O'Donoghue. He's actually a Fijian Kurt Donoghue. He had 70 points with a little dart over try from Hooker on the weekend. Bit of a combo role at Lock and Hooker. He played 40 minutes at Lock, 20 minutes at Hooker. I've never seen a person coming off the field looking more tired after 60 minutes than what he did. He actually like collapsed as he got off the field, so he was absolutely buggered in that game. He is now going to be up to around 450K, break even in the mid-20s. And then the other option there, Tubes, is Oren Keeley, the one who Matt accidentally brought in a couple of weeks ago. He had 58 points with a try. His minutes are up this week to 51, and he's now going up 50K, and he's going to have a break even in the single digits. What do you make of those two?
I wouldn't bring either of them in. I mean, Irish Kurt, 70 with a try. Whilst that could be his role moving forward, I just don't think that that's going to be enough upside at the 450K that he's going to be. And Keeley, I know he went to 51 minutes this week, but they've just got some really good other edge back rowers that can play minutes, and he's sort of been hovering around that 40-minute mark. I mean, I know Matt's going to feel pretty good that he accidentally brought him in and he's probably now going to make 100K, but you still don't want to be stuck with him after the end of the buy period. So he's not worth a trade in and a trade out.
Yeah, agreed on both fronts. From the Cowboys side of things, not heaps to talk about. Not that that's surprising when they only scored 4 points. Purdue had 43 with no major attacking stats, so actually a pretty solid result, all things considered. His price is going to stay fairly level. His break-even is going to be big, though, up near 100. And Scotty Drinkwater had 21 points. A bit of controversy from some people who thought he deserved a try assist, which he still may get in updates when he went down a little blindside play. He also came off for a HIA at one stage too. So, Chibs, you traded Drinky a few weeks ago now. I mean, two out of the three games since you've traded him, it's not been too bad, has it?
Yeah, it didn't look good against that 100 against the Storm. We'll still see. I don't want to be tooting my horn after a 21, but no. I just think still with this change of Purdue going to 5'8", there's enough there for me that Drinky's not a top three fullback for the run home. And so I think it'll be Teddy, Pappy, and other, still TBA, I suppose. So, that was why I traded him out. But obviously, if you own him right now, you're not trading him, you're holding him, and at least probably through to round 19 and beyond.
Yeah, and Chiefs, you often talk about these kind of games. You just write it off. They got absolutely pumped. What do you expect a fullback to do when his team's beaten by 54 points? Like, especially when he's not a high base fullback. The final
game. It's a different combo as well. Like, if he does get that try assist, line break assist, he's actually getting mid-40s. And
it doesn't feel as bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Final game of the round was the Rabbitohs versus the Dogs, where the Dogs pulled it out. Tubes, a former Tubes pod, Marcelo Montoya, was the top scorer of this game. He had 112 points with a double. His ownership's nice, Tubes. He's only owned by 14 people in the top 10%. Could it be 15? Could you look to get back to your old ways with Montoya?
There was a world where I nearly brought him and Bostock in this week, actually.
there was a few drafts he did that had some Montoya trades.
Yeah, he's actually in my draft. He was in my draft team earlier as well. So anyway, I don't think he's the worst, to be honest. I know that sounds crazy, but 353K, the Dogs are just starting to look good. And the reason I'm saying he's not the worst, I don't know what this Burton situation is going to be with Galvin and how all that is, but Galvin's just such a dominant playmaker down that left-hand edge. And he
looked good.
He's a very good player. And with Kickow, who's obviously gone 100, Montoya just becomes a little bit more relevant as a try scorer.
Chibs, I'm not even going to comment on Montoya because I want to get to the real meat of this game. And a couple of blokes who you do own, not just theoretically, but are actually in your Supercoach team. One of them was Billy Kickow, who you mentioned had 100. I don't know if he's ever played better NRL football than what he's playing at the moment. Like, I know he won premierships with Penrith. His effort at the moment is absolutely unreal. How good does it feel to own him right now, Tubes?
Yeah, you talk about narrative. Like, he's with Stephen Crichton out, he's captaining the team, and he looks every bit a captain of the Bulldogs as well, the way he's actually been playing during these origin periods. So his base plus power through the roof for him.
83 Tubes, and that's and that's with offloads. He had six offloads. That's going to update. He's going to end up with like 95 in base plus power, which is absolutely incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, and as you say, he does those effort plays as well. So I really like him. You talked about Ola and Ola replacements. I wouldn't be shocked if Kickow's stocks went through the roof. He's only 12% owned at the moment. So I at 620K, I think next week. I think he'll be a big option for people.
Yeah, that ownership's going to be much higher than 12% pretty soon. I think if people can get through next week, that's going to be the tough thing. Dogs on the bye next week. There's probably going to be some people who might need to trade Ola to someone who's actually playing because they're going to be short. Mm. But if you can hold on for a week, he'd be a good one to get. What do you make of Kidaz, Tubes? He's one that you brought in last week. How'd you find his game today?
Yeah, I didn't see the injury part. I just saw the text messages, which I think at one point said he might be dead, like obviously in a joking way, but like not getting up, like, and then suddenly miraculously he's he's up and making tackle breaks and offloads again. But I thought in that, but I also did watch a bit of the first half and I thought he could be on for anything. Like I thought he was going to match Herbie for a little bit there. So I do think that his second half, he wasn't coming in looking for as much work. So I do think that he was hampered by that. I think neck injury it was.
Neck, shoulder, they weren't really sure. Looked like a bit of a burner, whatever it was. They just kind of had to lie him down for a bit, assess, and he was good to go.
And again, I'm not a physio, but remember Stephen Crichton had something similar, like over the last, like as in sort of like they get those nerve, if it just get hit on the right nerve, I can imagine it's extremely painful, but then never missed any weeks because of it. He's as tough as they come, Kira, so hopefully he's all good after that bye period.
I think he's just a must-have from round 17 onwards with what he's doing. He still doesn't look 100%. Like I think Danny Boy said in our group chat tubes, he's either limping or at full sprint because every time he's not running the ball, he's limping around. So I don't know. It's not going to put me off him. I don't think it should put anyone else off him either because what he's doing when he has the ball is just busting tackles, offloading and making meters and a real try-scoring threat. The further he gets into his career, the more that he's actually getting used as a legitimate attacking option. Yep. Which wasn't always the go. The last one from the Dogs is slightly relevant. Connor Tracy had 70 with a try. But moving on to the Rabbitohs players, the most relevant thing that happened out of the Rabbitohs there was that Keon Kolomatangi, who was the second most popular captain of the round, he had 69 points, but he came off at the 70-minute mark after a poke to the eye. And now Bennett has said in the post-game presser that it could be a potential fracture. So he's going up another 30K. He's going to get to just under 800K. I'm hoping for some positive news there, Tubes, with the Ola injury as well. That's just a back row decimated.
Yeah. I brought him in this week.
Did you?
Premium, paid the tax, brought him in.
Oh, I actually thought you got away with that one, Tubes. I thought you missed both him and Ola.
No, that was my text saying, sorry, boys. Like, I've brought my super coach luck for the year.
I saw you text us saying, sorry, boys, about the injury. I thought that was like a little smart ass, sorry, boys, because you didn't have it.
No, it was a, I'm sorry, I've done this 2 years. It's unfortunate for him. But I do hope that everything's all good as well. I also just hope it is because I want Souths to have a strong back end of the year. And I think that they're gone, like, without him. Like, he's so
important.
He's like Payne Haas for Brisbane now through the middle. Like, he's so important. So, yeah, hopefully it's, you know, again, without being a physio, hopefully it's something with the eye but not an actual fractured bone and he recovers. So we'll see.
Yeah. Another relevant player from Souths is Lachie Hubner. He's in 39% of the top 10%. He had 33 points in 39 minutes. I'm just going to point out that the minutes have now been sub 40 four games in a row. It kind of got glossed over the last couple of weeks because he had a try assist to Kolomatangi in two of those games. But, yeah, the minutes aren't great, although if Kolomatangi is hurt, Hubner's minutes could now actually see a bit of an increase too. So we'll see. I don't think if they do increase, it's going to be dramatic. So he might be one that you're going to be looking to move on pretty soon, don't you think?
Yeah, I've got him, and I was planning on selling this week with the buy, but now it might wait, depending on all the injuries.
Yeah. Last one from South Tubes. I'll be quick because he's a bit of a pod, but I'm interested to an extent. Talis Duncan had 116 points with a try and a try assist. He also had 70 this game in base plus power. And just noting now, he's had 5 80-minute games. He's averaging 66 now. He's going to be up to about 475K with a big negative break even. What do you think, Tubes? Any interest in Talis Duncan? From a footy perspective, it seems like he's actually starting to hit his straps a little bit and deliver on some of his potential.
Yeah. I don't think he was a edge back rower, was he, coming through the grades? Like, it might have just taken him a bit of time. Like, that line he ran today to score the try was very nice. Like I said, though, my South's hopes go down depending with Kolomatangi's injury. I do think if you're bringing in someone for what it'll be mid 400k, like, you want some attacking upside as well.
Yeah. All right, Tubes, on to the final segment of the show. It's time for the Little Black Book. Who have you got jotted down for us this week?
Yeah, I slightly mentioned this guy earlier, and that is Lachie Gowan. Obviously, still a little bit to shake out. They're on the bye next week. What's happening with the rotation with Sexton, Reed, Marnie, and then Burton coming back into the team? But I just think, like everyone has said, this guy is a very, very good NRL player, and he needs to be playing 80 minutes for the Dogs. And he had a very good game today NRL-wise. He had 65 with an assist, and he's sub 500K at 5'8 as an option to bring into your side. I think he'll be one. We've been talking about Brimson and Purdue and, you know, flexibility there. If you can get Galvin at sub 500K as a starting 5'8 for the Bulldogs, like, he's not going to take a back seat to Burton, like, as in he's going to touch the ball as much as he was before. And I think he could be a really good option for the run home.
Yeah, 5'8 suddenly starting to look a little bit less dire. Like, we've spoken about what a bad position is, but there are a few pretty good options. Like, even Metcalf, who obviously didn't play this week, is another one you could add to that list of pretty good 5'8 options. So, looking like a much more interesting position now. My little black book player, Tubes, is Jacob Preston, who made his comeback game for the Dogs this weekend. He had 45 points in his 80-minute game. Obviously, like you mentioned previously, the Dogs are on the bye in round 16. He is going to be dropping 30K. He's going to be down to under 700, break even in the 90s. The reason he's a little black book player for me and not a ready to explode is I think that price is going to come down a little bit. So I'll be more interested in him as the price continues to drop. The other concern I have is with how good Kikau's looking, Preston had always been a really good option close to the line, but I could see them just continuing to go out left to Billy Kikau and ignore some of those right edge players. And if they do go right, looking at Kikau's. So I just want to see how the role looks. That's why I've got him jotted down this week.
How good is this Bulldogs team all of a sudden? Like, yeah. Preston back, Kikau, Burton and Galvin on either edge, and then Kikau's, Crichton, et cetera, out the back. Like, it's just... Yeah, it's a good shout, but, yeah, the Dogs are looking very strong.
Yeah, they sure are. Well, Chiefs, that pretty much brings us out to a close for the five-game round. We still managed to go 50 minutes in a five-game round, so we've done well, obviously, blabbering on a little bit. But, Chiefs, coming up this week, obviously, it's State of Origin. I've got my New South Wales 13-plus jumper. Last time I wore that for the Sunday snap, we did win. Not 13-plus, but I'm hoping it brings a little bit of luck. Big couple of shows. Obviously, the Tuesday show will be the normal one, but I know the boys are planning on doing an extended Thursday Q&A show again to give a bit of a rundown of what happens in State of Origin.
Yeah, it should be good. It's another big week. This coming off the Origin week, like, obviously Origin's going to be awesome over in Perth, but from a Supercoach perspective, these weeks coming off the Origin weeks are very big moving weeks, depending on trades, who plays, who doesn't, and then There seems to be a lot of carnage with injury at the moment. So
sure does.
There'll be plenty to think about.
All right, Tubes, anything else you got for us?
You beauty.